Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? It's Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Oh, man, we got a good one for you tonight. We got a lot to talk about for this past weekend. You know, we had Javonte Davis knocking out Ryan Garcia. We had Pavlis knocking out Curtis Blaydes. Keys checked out the Bellator event. And then, man, we're going to talk a little bit of UFC 288. And time permitting, you know, I want to broach the subject of this Nate Diaz thing with Keys if we have enough time. But look, let me introduce my co-host, the man with the most. Keys, what's going on, bro? How you doing tonight?
Yes, sir. I'm out here, man, at Keys Real Talk on everything. At Keys Real Talk on Twitter. At Keys Real Talk on TikTok. Let me know. I'm out here. I'm ready. Let's go. We can get to Nate Diaz. We can even do that right off the bat if you want to. Let's go. I watched three events on Saturday. I'm jacked up, man. I'm excited.
All right. Well, let's just do this. Let's go ahead and talk about the Nate Diaz thing. All right. Nate Diaz, I guess a warrant has been issued for his arrest due to a fight he got in over the weekend or past weekend in New Orleans. I saw the video today for the first time, and, you know, I was like, looked like to me he was just defending himself. But I'm going to ask you, man, what was your thoughts when you saw the video and what you think about the overall situation?
I mean, my first thought when I saw the video immediately is like, I see, well, there was one clip. There's the outside brawl that happened, which I figured was after the event. And the first clip he's sitting in looks like ringside at some event, which I'm pretty sure there was that Misfits Boxing was that was like that influencer boxing league that they do. So I'm pretty sure he was at that event. I'm almost positive that's where he was at, because I remember seeing a clip of one of the fights, and then like a few minutes later I saw a video of Nate Diaz ringside, and I'm like, all right, that looks like he's at the boxing event. And then there was a dude that was like chirping behind in the row behind him, and man, Nate picked up his water bottle and Nate pitched a Tom Brady at this dude, but like, dude is right behind. He like whipped the water bottle. I don't know if it hit off this guy's head or like he definitely whipped the water bottle at this dude that was standing behind him. You couldn't really see, but Nate got a fast arm, bro. That's pretty crazy. He might have to throw the first pitch for the MLB next season. He was looking pretty good in that. But, that was pretty much my first thoughts. I'm like, damn, Nate's back to throwing water bottles again. You know, it's not the first time we've seen him do that. You know, you remember the press conference years ago, him and Connor, yeah, throwing the water bottles and stuff. So, you know, he likes doing that. But, yeah, and then it just spilled into the streets. And then the thing that I was really concerned about, it wasn't – the water bottle was one, but it was much worse with the outside brawl, because you see all these like all these dudes in the streets and couldn't really tell at first. But then you could see Nate come out from the left side, and the dude like runs up to him or wherever it is, and then you see Nate clearly has the dude in a standing submission. Nate had the guy in the standing choke, and you just see Nate drop this dude, and the dude clearly unconscious. But so Nate choked the dude out standing. He did like John Jones versus Lyoto Machida type move with the standing submission in the streets, though. So, yeah, that's pretty concerning, bro. I don't know how I feel about that.
All right. People, please do not run up on these fighters, man, thinking that they ain't going to lay hands on you, man. Them guys will defend themselves if they feel a threat. I know some of these people when they get a little amped up, got a little bit of liquor in them, you know, that liquid courage that, you know, you think, oh man, I could take him. No, you really can't. Back the hell up. Reassess the situation before you get hurt. Now, I didn't see the water bottle thing, but Man, Nate, man, you can't be choking civilians out, bro. You can't be choking civilians out, man. That man, you could have. And then the way you dropped him, man, you could have really seriously injured or hurt that guy. You know, I ain't gonna defend the guy either. I ain't gonna defend his actions. But as a pro athlete, man, as a professional, as a celebrity, you always gonna have those people that's gonna chirp at you, that's gonna talk shit. Man, you gotta outgrow combating that, man. You've been in the game too long to still be wanting to, you know, combat that. Throwing the water bottle. Come on, man. You're bigger than that, dog. So, but you know, man, them Diaz boys, they hot heads, dog. And I'm not defending Nate, but all I'm gonna say is he a pugilist. He get paid to put hands on people. So all you people that's out there, like the guy that wanted to run up on Conor McGregor, the guy that wanted to run up on Jorge Masvidal, you know, the guy that Nate was just in with. Hey, man, if you bark up the wrong tree, that dog is going to bite you. But, hey, man, I just, when I saw him choke that guy out, man, my mind just went another way. I kind of sort of lost a little bit of respect for him. But at the same time, you know, you can't just invade a person's personal space and think they ain't going to do nothing to you. But the situation is just, it's just a messed up situation, Keys. That's the messed up situation all around on both sides.
I mean, it's really both sides are wrong, and both sides are wrong. Unfortunately, like I kind of lean towards the side of saying that the dude running up on Nate and even like heckling him when you know you're sitting behind him at the event, I'm not even going to say unfortunately, I take that back. But I do lean towards saying that the individual, the dude, is more wrong because it's and Nate is, and that's probably going to be controversial, but Nate is at the same time, and we've talked about this before, and you said it many times, and it's true, you're correct, is his hands are a weapon, you know? Nate Diaz is like a licensed weapon, you know? His hands are... He could kill somebody with the skills he has. You know, we know that. That's a fact. Like, Nate could kill a man with the skills he has of fighting. You know, he is a very good, it doesn't matter, like, where he was at. Like, oh, he's a – like, no, bro. Even the lowest-level guys or fighters that just, we will say, haven't been that successful are still trained killers, man. Like, you think that because it's, oh, this lost this guy is, like – oh, I can run up on him. It's like, no, man, he's still a beast. Like, you really shouldn't be running down on any fighter, man. It's like even that guy that, you know, always that kickboxing dude, I can't remember his exact name, but he always like tries to pull up on John Jones, like at the expos and all these like live events, John Jones, like doing a autograph sign. The guy always pulls up and tries to start something. It's like, bro, John Jones will eat you alive, man. What are you, like, and that guy's a kickboxer, so, like, at least he has experience in the game. So it's not like he won't have hands. He will, but it's just like, bro, you're going to end up like that dude that we just saw in that video. Like, what does that guy think that he's going to achieve? It's like, first of all, this is, like, one of the biggest fighters in the world, so they're not going to let you get close to him. But even if you did, what do you expect is going to happen? Like, this is one of the best fighters in the world also, not just the biggest. What do you expect? And Nate is a high level fighter. It's like, I just don't know what these guys expect when you try to like heckle a professional fighter, you know, in any regard. I really don't know what they expect to happen. But is Nate still wrong? 100% he's still wrong because he now, I want to say I read they have second degree battery charges in that state. I don't know if it was Nevada or what state I saw that it was, but they said there's, I think it was the Michael Benson. I think Michael Benson tweeted it, which in his stuff is official. He's like, you know, to me, he's like almost like looking at Bokamoto tweeting it. It's like Michael Benson said that, you know, they have second degree battery charges out you know, warrants for Nate's arrest in the state that went down. I think it was Nevada, so in that state. So that's not good, you know, and Nate could really hurt his career with this. I don't know what will happen. Maybe it'll get swept under the rug, maybe not. But I lean towards thinking that it won't because it's not just you. It's not like McGregor where you guys are just throwing water bottles at the press conference. That's like one. That's one to one, fighter to fighter. You know, the UFC can kind of, you know, they had to go to court and everything, but the UFC can. That's within the organization. You're talking about a man off the streets who you just choked unconscious and let his body flop on the concrete. It's like, who knows the injuries the dude might have, or, you know, he could have brain damage or something like this. Hopefully not, but, you know, you don't know. You cut off, you choke somebody out, you know, they're brain dead for that time period, I'm pretty sure, and you're cutting off the oxygen for their brain. You can kill somebody from choking them out. So same thing with knocking them out. Like, you see people die in the ring. It's like, you can die from being knocked out, and as well as you could die from being choked out. That's why it's you know, you see these jiu-jitsu guys, and they say, like, you don't want to get choked out. Like, you don't, like, so when these guys don't tap, like, some of us like it to watch as fans, but it's like, it's really, really harmful for them if they're going to let themselves be choked out and let their eyes roll back into their head and let that happen to themselves, because you're really, it's really bad for your health to have that. Let me get off that. It's overall, they're both wrong, but we know how Nate is. I wish he wouldn't have done that in a way, but also I wish that, like, these fans would stop trying to run down on professional fighters, man, no matter who it is, boxing, UFC, LFA, I don't care. There was a female UFC fighter not that long ago who a dude was, like, trying to, I forget what he was trying to do. I don't know if he was, like, trying to fight her, or he was trying to, like, sexually abuse her. He was doing something. He was trying to do something. And there's a fighter, that woman's fighter signed to the UFC and, like, beat the shit out of this guy. And it was like, when I saw that, my first thought was, you shouldn't have done that. I mean, you can't expect her to not, if you're going to run up on these fighters, you can't expect them to not use, if they even respond to you, they're already going to be using their skills. That's what they're trained to do. Like, if you're going to try to fight these men and women, they're going to use their skills. So when you try to fight with them, you're fighting with their level and whatever that is. You know what I mean? That dude up and body slammed him on the concrete, but he could have killed that guy. I think it was Pauliano Viana, I'm pretty sure, that beat that dude up that time. And I think he was trying to, I don't know what he was trying to do, but she beat the shit out of that guy. And I remember being proud. I was like, good for her, man, because let these people, you know, they just think that, oh, you know, female fighters, she won't. It's like, no, they got hands too. Even though we don't, you know, I don't enjoy all the female fights that much, they're killers too, you know. So I just wish, like I said, in the end, sorry, you know, I go on a tangent with this, but it's a passionate topic, and I just wish both sides are wrong, but I really wish that the dude wouldn't have pressed Nate. That's what I really come down to.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Let these celebrities have a good time, man. It's like when they have an event, man, they there to be entertained. They there to have fun. You know, if they want to sign some autographs, they'll sign autographs. But 9 times out of 10, when they out and about at events, they want to be regular old fans, man. So let them guys be themselves for a night. Be fans for a night, you know, man. So, but hopefully everybody come out of this, you know, unscathed, you know, healthy and all that good jazz. But, you know, Saturday, man, we had the boxing, probably the matchup, I ain't going to say, but so far the biggest fight of the year in boxing. We had Javante Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia, you know, in a big fight. You know, Tank ended up KOing him with a liver shot in the 7th round. But, man, that fight, to me, it was probably one-sided, like I said it would be. But did you watch the fight, Keys?
You talking about Tank and Ryan?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, I watched the fight, man. I wasn't sure which ones I would be able to watch, but we ended up watching all three events. We watched three events on Saturday, and that was a really good time, man.
You know what, man? Before I get your thoughts on the fight, boxing, man, y'all need to get y'all shit together, man. That was a pay-per-view, and y'all had one title. Y'all had Tank and Garcia, and then a whole bunch of no-names on the undercard. If I'm going to pay my money for a pay-per-view, give me some names, bro. They couldn't find no other names to fight on that card. None. They couldn't put no other names on that card except Tank and Ryan. That's why UFC is kicking boxers' ass. Because even if the UFC normally when they have a pay-per-view card, it's at least four banger fights on the card. With the guys that we know or fans know about. Boxing, man, nah, that won't it, bro. Keys, that won't it for me, man. I think the pay-per-view was $80. And basically, the only names I knew were Javante Davis and Ryan Garcia, dog. That's it. That's sad, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because the other thing that I thought about that was not only, I mean, I expected that because boxing just, yeah, man, I already know what I'm getting with boxing, but at the same time, it's like, you're right, they still should have propped up. I mean, if you look back at these other cards, when you look back at the Mayweather and, I forget, was it Mayweather and McGregor? Or who was it? It was one of Mayweather's fights, one of his, like, last legit fights, like, not like these, like, prop fights that he's doing. Like, it was one of his last legit cards, and you had Gervonta Davis in the co-main event versus somebody, and then you had, what's his other fighter name that I always like watching? He was just on the Jake Paul card. I think he was a co-main event. He's a light heavyweight. I like watching this guy. You know what I'm talking about?
I can't
about.
Think of his name. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He just won the belt at the last Jake Paul fight.
Yeah. He's a light heavyweight. He was the co-main event. I always say when I watch like a boxing card he's on, I'm like, yo, I always like watching this dude. Man. I'm trying to – it'll come to me. But anyways – you had all three of those guys. So when you look back at that Mayweather card, you had Gervonta Davis now main event attraction. You had him in the co-main event, and he was already an attraction. And then you had our man, our boy that we're talking about that, you know, the name will come back to us. He was the third fight down. And then you had the couple on the card fights. Like, that was much more acceptable. You had three bangers. You know, you had three notable names, dudes that put on consistently good fights. So that was more solid. But this card, I know what you're saying because, I was able to get onto it, like, just in time to watch the main event. I think we might have seen, like, some of the, like, the second half of the co-main event. I think that's maybe what it was. And then we'd be able to watch that. So I don't know what was there, but I know one thing is as far as the production, man, y'all production quality is terrible, bro. Like, I cannot believe how... Y'all, man, they got audacity trying to say this. This is why I love this conversation. They love to say, these boxing fans love to say, when every time they knock MMA, they say, oh, boxing fighters get paid way more. Oh, my God, there's so much more money. You know, UFC is so small. Bro, I'm glad we're so small, and I'm glad they don't get paid as much because your production quality, like y'all had a $1,000 budget. It looked terrible. There was one image the whole time. There was one image of Tank. Y'all didn't even of Tank and Ryan. You didn't even have a tail of the tape, like that lead up during that when you were leading up to the walkouts, like quarter to 11, okay, like until like 10 past 11 when they actually started the walkouts. That whole time, so like that half an hour you had in between from the end of the co-main event until they started the walkouts, you had one image on the screen the entire time. What was that? It was literally the picture of the two guys, the same photo. They didn't even have a promo. Where was the promo? When you get the UFC fight, I'm glad they love to talk about, like, how much money they make because you really can't tell, oh, there's so much money in the sport of boxing. I can't tell. I wouldn't be able to tell you that there was, because you don't see it in the production. Where's the production quality? When you're watching the UFC fight, it doesn't even have to be the main event. You're getting these crazy promos. You're getting tailored tapes. You're getting interviews in between. You're getting desk analysts that are breaking down the next fight, bro. They're showing you the division, whatever it is. When you get to the main event fight, you have, especially these big title fights, you're getting these long promos leading up to the fight to give you some kind of entertainment when you're leading up to an exciting fight. You literally had one pitcher, a tank, in Ryan Garcia for a half an hour on the screen. They went from having that pitcher, they would take it off, and they would literally have – they had a camera, like, up in the nosebleeds in the arena that was just showing you the arena. Like, it was just like – it's like they had a camera just showing you it from the nosebleeds of what the arena looked like, and you just see people walking around. I'm like, what the hell? What in God's name is this production, man? Who put this together? Who put this together, man? Y'all got to be kidding me with that, man. That was terrible. That was – who put that up there, man? That was terrible. So y'all should be ashamed of yourselves, man. One of the biggest fights – you could even argue that's the biggest fight of this year that at least has happened yet, and you had probably a 0 out of 10 production quality. There was no intrigue leading up to that fight. If someone wanted to – there was, but I'm saying on the night. If you wanted to tune in right as that main event was starting, you would not be excited for that fight because you would have no info about it. You would have no info. You would have no excitement. There was no promo. There was no videos. There was no trailers. There was no interviews. There was nothing. There wasn't even a tail of the tape. They didn't even show you the tail of the tape. Where was the tail of the tape? Man, boxing, y'all got to get out of here, man. I can't take y'all anymore. I'm a fan of Ryan Garcia after that fight. Ryan Garcia, I'm going to be paying attention to you more. He definitely won my respect the way he is handling the loss like a true champion. You know, no excuses, with grace, respectful. You know, he said you know, Tank, it was never any beef, just all, like, competitive spirit. That's all it was. We fought. He caught me with a shot. I lost. That's it. I'm not going to make excuses for it. And that's it. He's like, I got to win a couple of fights, hopefully get the rematch in the future. Ryan Garcia, you made a fan of me. Tank is a beast. But as far as Boston, y'all production is terrible, and you need to revisit that and look at how bad that was. That's my real take, man.
Man. You know, everybody was talking about Tank Davis, you know, all this, all that. And then after the fight, they were saying Tank Davis is the new face of boxing. And I saw that on Instagram, and I was like, hold up, man. How is Tank the face of boxing? And there's only two guys that he done fought that I know who they are. And I'm like, man, come on, man. And then Ryan Garcia came down and wait to fight him. So Ryan was at a disadvantage the whole, you know, coming in. And boxing fans are so fickle, man. It's like, first Errol Spence was the face of boxing, you know, and then Terrence Crawford is the face of boxing. Everybody forgot about Canelo Alvarez? Hello? Have we forgot about Canelo Alvarez? Okay. Everybody can't be the face of boxing. Everybody get in where you fit in. If you start fighting the top guys in your division and you start winning, then you can claim to be the face of boxing. But until you are pound for pound, stop it. Ryan Garcia came in that fight, and everybody like, Tank Davis this, Tank Davis that. You know why they have so many pay-per-view buys? Ryan Garcia's social media following. Ryan Garcia has one of the biggest social media followings of any athlete in professional sports. And they backed him and supported him in that fight. Although, you know, I didn't think he could match power with Tank. I really don't think Ryan Garcia is that good. But I think he can get better. But, man... People, man, they just, it's always an overreaction to something. All right, let the fight happen. Cool down. You know, let things settle down a little bit. And then revisit it before you come up with your opinion. That's all we ask. You know, normally, like, after UFC events, me and Keys, we normally jump on Wednesday. That way, we either done went back and watched the fight, we done went back and watched the highlights. That way, we ain't a prisoner of that moment at that time, and we are a little bit more rational with our opinions. That's all we ask you, but let's be a little bit more careful with your opinions. Don't jump the gun. You know, got to be the first one with a hot take. It's okay for Tank to be a good boxer and not be the face of boxing. It's okay. So I think what I would like to see happen, we got Lomachenko versus Devin Haney coming up May 20th. Shakur Stevenson just fought. I would like to see Tank and Shakur fight, and the winner of that fight get the winner of the Devin Haney Lomachenko fight, and the losers should fight each other. That way you get like a little four-man tournament. You got four of the top guys in that division fighting each other, and basically we'll find out who the best. But we had a UFC event Saturday, man. Pavlovich versus Blades. Very short fight, Keys. I was very disappointed in Curtis Blades. But Ben is Blaze is one of your favorite fighters, man. What was your thoughts on his performance Saturday, bro?
I'm going to tell you this, bro. I'm going to tell you this right now. Is that, and I'm going to be honest with y'all. It's okay. You can judge me. I knew this was a bad idea. I knew it. I knew it was a bad idea, and I did it on purpose knowing it was a bad idea. Okay? I Curtis Blades, I put some money on you, and you lost me my money, man. And that's okay, because a lot of guys will get mad at fighters when they lose the fight and they expect them to win, then they lost money. I'm not trying to say that, but I just will say it because I don't even care, because, you know, it's not a big deal. It wasn't a make or break thing for me. I put it, you know, a couple bucks there. I was like, you know what, maybe my man Curtis Blades will bring this out. I expect him to lose, and I'm pretty sure we both predicted him to lose. I expected him to lose 100%, but I still did it because I was like, hey, maybe he'll actually use his wrestling. Maybe we'll get to see, you know, him show his skills here. And he didn't. That's okay. I lost a bet on him. It's all right. I'm really disappointed in his. I don't know what his game plan was. That was probably the worst way you could have fought that guy. I really don't know what he was looking to accomplish with that. I mean, you basically just decided to stand and bang in the first round, dangerous rounds that we can for sure say, because he hasn't been out of the – Sergey Pavlovich has not been out of the first round since 2017, bro, since 6 years.
Hey.
He hasn't fought out of the first round since 2017. And that includes him getting finished in the first round, I believe, versus Alistair Overeem, which I think was his first fight in the UFC. Alistair Overeem beat the brakes off him. So maybe we need to be asking just how good is Alistair Overeem. That might need to be the question right now. Shout out to Chael Sonnen. Shout out to Alistair Overeem. That's one of our guys as well. Anyways, so 2017, I have no idea what Blaze was trying to do. He wanted to stand and bang and basically got knocked out in the first round by a guy who knocks everybody out in the first round. So, and I have no idea what Blaze was thinking doing that. I did see him attempt one takedown, which obviously Pavlovich was ready for. He stuffed the takedown. Okay, but I didn't know we were only going to try one takedown. I thought maybe there would have been some leg kicks from Blades, you know, maybe some body kicks from Blades. Like, you didn't have anything else going on. It was just like, oh, I'm either going to stand and bang with this guy. We're just going to throw hands. I'm going to try to take him down. Okay, it didn't work. Now we're just going to keep on throwing hands. It's like, really? Like, did you see any leg kicks or anything? Like, did Blades try anything else?
Man, I knew he was in trouble when Pavlovich threw a jab and it hurt him. Normally people throw a jab out to gauge distance, you know, to feel you out. And he threw a jab at Curtis Blades, and Curtis Blades' reaction to that jab, I was like, damn, he hurt him with the jab. But then instead of Curtis Blades backing up and, you know, faking and then going for the takedown, he tried to stay in the bang with my man because he landed a shot. Curtis Blaydes landed a shot, and I think that's where everything went wrong for him. And, Keith, it's always what you always say this. 1-1 don't equal 2 in MMA, man. Because I know they watch tape. I know they watch film. If me and you know that Sergey hasn't been out of the first round in 6 years, and he's been knocking people out, they gotta know that, Keys. So why wouldn't you faint, move around, try to take him down, you know, just make him think about what you're going to do in the first round, and then maybe when you get to the second round, maybe you can establish something. Man, Curtis Blaydes did nothing, man. He just he sat there and he was throwing punches. And I'm just looking at the fight like, bro, you about to get knocked out. And then the only reason he went for that takedown is because he was hurt. That's the only reason he went for that takedown. He actually stumbled into that takedown. But, hey, man, Pavlovich is a beast. But who has he... Let me have four some people, and I'm just no, and I might just be tripping. Let me see who he is for. Cause Anthony, yeah, he done fought some guys.
Yeah, so
right?
He fought his last three fights. He had, I don't know all of them. I know he lost to Overeem. I think he has 5 or 6 straight wins. I think he's either 5-1 or 6-1 in the UFC. And I know his last three because I watched them all. He just fought Blaydes. Before that, he fought Tied to Tuivasa, and before that, he fought Derek Lewis.
Okay. So he has four some names. All right. All right, Blaydes, Tuivasa, Lewis. Yeah, so his last three fights have been against guys. Okay. I wonder what they're going to do with him next, then. I wonder what they're going to do with him next. So we shall see, but that's impressive, man, to not been past the first round in 6 years. I mean, whether you get finished or you finish them, that's a great feat. But Curtis Blaydes, man, you hurt yourself for that fight. Your game plan should have never been to stand and bang. Your game plan should have been to jab, faint, takedown. Because Curtis Blaydes got one of the best grounding pounds in the game. And we know that once he gets you down and he starts dropping them hammer fists and them elbows on you, it's lights out. It's lights out. So, you know, just bad performance. Every fighter has them. But I just think that was the worst time for him to have it, being that you got a new world champion. And, you know, you may have put yourself in a position to get a title fight. But, let's go ahead and jump into it, man. You put out a tweet the other day saying, I want to say it was yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, that Cejudo versus Aljamain Sterling could possibly be the best skill fight in UFC history. I'm looking forward to this fight, man.
Yeah, I don't know. In UFC, that's up for debate. I'm okay with, like, in history, like, Jones and Cormier, probably the most skilled fight. Off the top of my head, it's probably the highest skilled fight.
But really, was Jones and Daniel Cormier a good skilled fight? Because if you look at those fights, John dominated him basically in all the fights. It wasn't like DC did anything that you was like, oh, man, John might be in trouble.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying from that regard. Like, I'm saying, like, overall, like, when you put the tail of the tape there and you put, like, pound for pound, like, what the guys bring to the fight, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, two really high-level guys in multiple disciplines, you know. DC was a great striker and a great wrestler. John Jones, great striker, great wrestler, great BJJ. Like, they both had multiple facets where they were that they were great in. And I think so. But for this one, it's like Volkanovski in Islam is that's debatably the highest skilled fight ever, and they actually showed that because that was a close fight. But that might be the highest one. But then this one is seriously the highest one. This is crazy. I listened to like three different analyses so far. Analyses I've listened to this week. I listened to Dan Hardy break it down. I listened to who else did I listen to? Dan Hardy, I listened to break it down. I listened to James Lynch break it down. And I want to say there was one more guy. I forget who else I listened to. But I got a couple different perspectives on that fight. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, this is absolutely nuts. I was like, maybe Chael Sonnen. I might have listened to Chael Sonnen break it down. And maybe one other one. But this fight is really crazy, man. I think it's, I mean, Aljamain, if this is like a 50-50 fight, I feel like you could really see, like, Aljamain Sterling, underrated striking, in my opinion. You know, underrated striker in the UFC. People don't talk about his striking, but he's an unorthodox striker, and he's unpredictable. His whole game is unpredictable, really. It's really, you don't know exactly what he's going to do. He can do a number of different things, and that's why this is such a high-level fight. Both of these guys bring multiple weapons to the fight. I mean, I want to say Henry Cejudo doesn't have any submission wins, as where Sterling has some really good submission wins. Yeah, I mean, he's the only one that's finished Corey Sandhagen in the first round, I think, ever. So that's a crazy feat, and that's by submission. But, yeah, Aljamain Sterling, you know, really good BJJ, really good grappler, wrestler, and I think really good striker. Aljamain Sterling almost has every single thing. And Cejudo, I would say, you know, really good striker. Obviously, he's an Olympic champion, so he's a great wrestler. And no submission wins, so I can't really speak on the jiu-jitsu. But, yeah, they you know, this fight is nuts, man. I really don't know. This is one that's kind of scary. Like, I don't know how people are even going to bet this fight because I feel like both guys can beat each other. I think Aljamain Sterling could it's a pick 'em. Like, it's not like I can even say shock the world and beat Cejudo. That wouldn't even be him shocking the world because he can beat Cejudo. It's not like a mountain to climb. Like he can definitely beat him. And it's a question of who gets over on the other guy. And Cejudo definitely, I mean, I think it's harder for me to say Cejudo can definitely beat Aljamain Sterling. I know Lee's going to say I have some kind of bias is why I just said that. He thinks that we know each other personally in real life, me and Aljo, but hey man, it is what it is. But it's harder for me to say that Cejudo can definitely beat Aljamain Sterling, but I do think he can beat him. I think both guys can beat each other. The three-year layoff for Cejudo does make it a little bit more iffy than it would have been. Like, if this fight had happened, you know, and he didn't stop, and this fight had happened, like, you know, early 2021 or, like, late 2020 when Cejudo was still hot and he was still active, you know, hadn't been on the couch for 3 years, like, I think it would even be that much more competitive, and I still think it is competitive. It's just like, I don't know, man. It's really going to come down to who's going to be sharper. I mean, what do you think about the fight? What do you think?
We know both guys can wrestle. So both guys, they can defend takedowns. This fight is going to come down to which guy can be the best striker. Whichever guy can be the best striker is going to win this fight. Man, because both of you guys are so good on the ground, man. They both so good on the ground. And I don't think Cejudo being away from the game or not having to fight in 3 years don't hurt him because of all the top guys he's been training, you know, as far as like training the champion. I can't think of her name right now. God, I can't think of her name right now. The one that beat Rosanova Hunes for the belt. He trained her. He was training Demetrius Johnson for his fight against Adriana Moraes. He was actually training John Jones a little bit. So he's still been in the game, although he hasn't fought. But This fight is going to come down to which fighter can go in there and impose their will in the striking. Because you going in there thinking that you're going to just take them down or hold them down, I don't think that's going to happen in this fight. Man, you would have to be really slick to get a submission on one of these guys. Pull off something really slick to get a submission on one of them. So I'm going to stick with my first gut, man. Whoever can win the striking game will win this fight. I think they're going to cancel each other out on the mat. So whichever guy can land those shots, hurt the guy, and keep a quality striking game is going to win, man. I think it's as simple as that.
And that's pretty scary, man. Because I really don't know. I mean, obviously this is a big fight for your boy Keys. I really like Aljamain Sterling. I've been watching him, man, since he was wearing the blue shorts. I'd be talking about that. And because it is just dope when you have a certain fighter that like you've been watching them since they were unranked. Like that's another guy like that is Bilal Muhammad for me. Like those two guys are like two of those guys where I remember watching their fights when they were a no name and they were on the prelims or the early prelims, and I'm watching them, and I'm like, oh, this guy's pretty cool. I like his style. You know, this guy's pretty dominant. That was a good win. Like, I remember watching multiple of both of those guys' fights and saying that, you know, when they were just a complete random on the prelims, you know. And so it's crazy to see them, you know, Bilal Muhammad's, you know, fighting basically in a title eliminator fight, I feel like, versus Gilbert Burns on that same card, which is crazy. I'm glad they got that one done because they didn't have that fight. And, of course, with Oliveira and Dariush having to be moved to my birthday card, which I appreciate. Thank you, Dana White, by the way. With them having to be moved there, you lost the co-main event. But then they were able to make, you know, they were able to make Bilal Muhammad versus Gilbert Burns on the fly, which this is, by the way, Gilbert Burns' third UFC fight in 2023, which is a pretty insane stat. I don't know how he's already fighting a third time, and it's literally going to be May. It three times in 5 months is that's a crazy level of work. So shout out to Gilbert Burns. That's you got to commend that because there are not many dudes in the game that are fighting at that frequency, and he's winning the fights too. You know he's 2-0. He's looking to go 3-0 in those three fights. So that's and all against basically all top 15 guys. Yeah, I'm glad they got to get that one done, and that's another, you know, highly skilled fight as well, Gilbert Burns versus Bilal, man. So, yeah, Aljo and Cejudo, we'll see, man. If Cejudo comes in and, you know, some people believe ring rust, some people don't. You know, sometimes we don't. I mean, John Jones, we just saw him come out, and he looked incredible and just rolled Cyril Gain, you know, like a 2-for-1 game blunt. Like, it was just in 2011, you know, he made Gain look – John Jones has guys talking about Gain like he's a complete bum right now because of that performance. So sometimes guys come back, you know, Cejudo might come back and just look like he never left, you know. So it's really hard to say, but that fight, man, that's a 50-50 fight, bro. Both of them, both 50-50 fights.
Oh, man. We have to talk about this, Keys. Last week on the show, you said you wanted to see Duplessis versus, was it Izzy? Did you say you wanted to see Duplessis versus Izzy?
Yeah, it was Izzy and Dreyfus that I wanted to see.
And then, I want to say that Friday, it was announced that Duplessis will be fighting Robert Whittaker for the next shot at his nail. I was kind of shocked that they said that the winner will fight Izzy. Keith, I got a question. I got a two-part question for you. Why is the UFC refusing to put Khamzat in against Izzy? That's number one. And then number two, Duplessis versus Whittaker. think Duplice is in the wrong. I don't think he's ready for the level of MMA ability that Robert Whittaker has, man. So what are your thoughts about that fight, Eric? Do you think the UFC is keeping Izzy away from Khamzat?
The Whittaker versus Dreyfus Duplessis, that definitely surprised me. I did not expect that, would be the fight, but I'll be happy to see it. You know, the judges are going to be saying, you know, if it's a three-round fight, they're going to be saying 30-27, 30-27, and 30-27. 4-0 winner by unanimous decision. Robert the Reaper Whittaker. And that's it. And then we're going to go back to Twitter after that, and everyone's going to be saying, oh, man, that Duplessis was never that good, man. Oh, my God. Like, Whittaker, you know, he might be that dude. And it's like, bro, he'd been that dude. He was already that dude. You just didn't want it. You just didn't want it. You thought it wasn't cool to say it anymore. He'd been that dude. And Duplessis isn't that good. And I've been saying that, too. But I want to see Izzy versus him. The reason why is because that's really – there's already a back and forth between them. There's already been some banter back and forth, so that's – there's already a little rivalry building there. But then it's also he's the only guy that's winning fights at middleweight consistently that's not, you know, up and down. And he's also – I want to say Duplessis is also undefeated. So he's undefeated in the UFC, and besides that, he's either undefeated in MMA, period, or he has, like, one loss. So – and there's a rivalry, so that's why I want to see it. But do I think he's that good? No. And do I think Whittaker, 30-27, you know, unanimous? Yes. Them keeping him from Khamzat, I'm so confused about the Khamzat Chimaev situation because I don't know what happened with this guy. They might be keeping Izzy from Chimaev. I would lean towards yes because it seems like not only are they keeping him away from Izzy, they're keeping Khamzat away from the octagon, period. They don't want him fighting anybody, it seems like. I don't know how we got to this point where Khamzat hasn't fought since September. It has now been – we are going on 8 months. It's the end of April. We are going in – it has been 8 months. Basically, it has been 8 months since Khamzat Chimaev has fought. And he was just the guy not long ago that wanted to fight every other weekend. And now he – is looking like a one-time-a-year fighter. And I don't know how we got to that point. So to your answer your question, are they keeping Izzy away from Chimaev? Yes, because they're keeping Chimaev away from the octagon.
I didn't look at it that way, but that is very insightful. And it kind of sort of runs hand-in-hand with my answer. I think the UFC is punishing Khamzat for not making weight in that last fight card, that one where he was supposed to fight Nate Diaz. I think the UFC is punishing him for that because it was kind of sort of his fault for not making weight that they had to move all the fights around. But to me, I think they are keeping Izzy away from Khamzat because they know Izzy can't wrestle. I think they know that Khamzat will go in there and maul him, bro. It's just crazy that the UFC, they have so much belief, and you know they hitched the cart to Khamzat, and now all of a sudden you kind of like sort of shitting on the guy. He messed up. Yes, making weight is definitely a big part of the sport. It's a smart part of the sport that you have to be a professional about. So I think you smack him on the hand, you sit him down and say, hey man, we got a lot of belief in you, but you got to make weight. And you not making weight is not just hurting you, it's hurting us. So Damn, that's just crazy because we know he can't make 170. We already know he can't make 170. Ain't that the weight that Usman fights at, 170, right? We know he can't make 170.
Yeah, so the next 170.
So the next weight up is his weight class. And what are we doing? Come on, UFC. Everybody knows that the best fight's the best in the UFC. There shouldn't be no running. There shouldn't be no ducking. And there shouldn't be matchmaking prevents fighters from fighting each other. So I think Khamzat should get a shot at Izzy. Duplessis, bruh, you are going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I think he is going to get roll keys. I think Bobby is going to be so focused in this fight because he knows that if he wins this fight, he gets one more shot at becoming a champ. And if he doesn't beat Izzy, he's probably going to have to go to 205. So, on with you. I think Bobby Whittaker is going to put on a masterful show against Duplessis, man. And I'm looking forward to it. Yes, I am.
Like, I was telling my brother that I was like, yo, to be honest, like, not financial advice, but we could go ahead and put the 401k on Whittaker to win that fight, bro.
Not the 401k.
Like, wow. Yeah, you like that? Like, I mean, really,
yeah,
it's
that's
like
right now.
Shit, you know. Yo, you know that's getting on there, man. That'll be on the sound bites. Y'all check out our channel at Lee and Keys Real Talk. We got this, all the best sound bites and hot takes and cold takes from the show. So yeah, that'll be there. But yeah, man, that's one of the most confident things I can even say at this point in my life is that Robert Whittaker is going to destroy that man. You know, there's nothing you can't think. I saw a tweet from him the other day, Duplessis, because I don't know how this happened. I don't follow that guy. But there's this thing on Twitter now, and I don't know if you noticed it lately, but it pushes people to you that you don't follow. So that happens a lot on my Twitter feed now. There's a lot of people that I don't follow. So it's not a thing of like, oh, you're checking up on guys that, like, you know, if you don't like if you're not – if I wasn't a fan of him, you might say, like, why are you checking up? I'm not a fan. I'm a critic of him. I'm not a fan of him. Therefore, I don't follow him. But it's not me following him that puts him on my feed. He's just getting pushed to my feed because I think the Twitter algorithm, the way they got it set up now, the way Elon's got it now, you know, they got people that you don't follow being pushed to your feed because it thinks, you know, it's probably related to your topics or whatever. And he's obviously a UFC fighter. So his tweets always pop up for me. And, you know, I saw him saying that, like, mark my words, you know, he's going to put on the show versus Whittaker, and it's like, man, you're going to die, bro. Like, bro, bro, you had, there's no way, because you literally had one round versus Derek Brunson. Blonde Brunson, you had one round against, and you looked exhausted. You both looked terrible in that fight. Realistically, you both looked terrible. You and Blonde Brunson looked terrible, and Blonde Brunson is my guy. But I, you know, we keep it real, and we will say even if a dude that we're a fan of didn't look good, and Blonde Brunson did not look good, he looked terrible. He pretty much had one round of cardio in him in that fight, and he was completely gassed, and so was Duplessis. So I don't know how he figures that. He could morph, you know, it's funny, he could morph together with Blonde Brunson, and they would still get 30-27 by Robert Whittaker in 2023.
Well, it takes
you think, you think if those two guys would have fused together, they could beat Whittaker or no?
Well, you're talking about two world-class MMA fighters forging together against one guy. So, but being that both guys got bad cardio, that's gonna be there.
I'm not saying two versus one. I'm saying if you combine
combine,
like, even if you just gave, they come with one round. You know, the two of them were exhausted after 5 minutes. So basically, yeah. Whitaker will fight 25 minutes. You know, he could probably fight 10 rounds if he wanted to. If they had a 10-round fight, Whitaker could do it.
Well,
That's why I always said Whitaker versus Covington. That's why I always wanted to – that's like one of my dream fights. I would love to see Robert Whitaker versus Colby Covington. And y'all might not understand that at this point in time, but I think one day you will. And maybe one day we'll see it somehow. I don't know how we'll see it, but that would be a dope fight because those two dudes are cardio machines. Those might be the top two, the two best cardio guys in the UFC. I mean, Adesanya is also really good cardio too, but those two guys are like might be the two best guys as far as cardio. And that would be, I just think, and they kind of have similar styles, but Whitaker has the anti-wrestling and Covington is a huge wrestler. I don't know, man. That's crazy. Crazy fight, but you know what I'm saying. Duplessis, go ahead. I've been cutting you off. My bad.
I think you could get Whitaker versus Covington, but we'll have to be able to catch a weight probably at 180. You probably could get it at a catch weight probably at 180, but both guys will have to want the fight. But the UFC funny about catch weight fights, man. They won't do catch weight fights for some strange reason. And, you know, we can get into that another day because if you imagine if they did catchweight fights, how many good fights we could get between guys of different divisions, man, it'll be crazy, bro. You say you can get Whitaker versus Covington at 180. And then you know what? They was talking about a 175 division or something like that. You probably could have, you know, probably you know, Usman versus somebody, Vittori or something like that. You know, man, or Usman versus our boy Holland. You know, man, there's so many fights they could make if the UFC was willing to do catch weights. But this Duplessis Whitaker fight takes me to a famous quote from my co-host Keys. There's levels to this. And Duplessis is not on the same level as Bobby Whitaker. And I think we're going to find that out when they fight. Hopefully it's a five-round fight. If it's a five-round fight, I say Whitaker knocks him out in the fourth round, maybe in the third or fourth round. But, yeah, man, I just think Duplessis, man, he's going to get exposed in this fight. But we covered a lot tonight. We talked about the Nate Diaz situation. We talked about Gervonta Davis and Ryan Garcia. We talked about the horrible performance of Curtis Blaydes versus Pavlovich. We talked about Duplessis versus Whitaker. We even got Hans out in the show. So it was a great show, man. Any last words for the people, Keys?
Nah, I mean, I got one thing that I want to say to you is if you can remind me after this what that soundbite was that I – what was that thing that I said? Was it the 401k thing? When I was like, oh, that's going to be up. I wanted to get that.
This guy says he's going to put the whole 401k on Bobby Whitaker to beat the beast.
Yo, I'm saying, man, if we go, if Whitaker doesn't win, man, we might end up, you know, we might lose the house, man. I don't know. It might get crazy, bro. I might be dead broke after that. We'll see.
Yeah, man.
But, yeah, I don't have any last words about this. Just thank y'all for listening. I love this show. I feel like we've been having a lot of fun with the shows lately. And, yeah, just that's it, man. Hit us up on Twitter. At Lee and Keys Real Talk, anything that, you know, you heard us say you want to talk about, you know, hit us up. You know, we're pretty responsive guys. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Everybody have a great rest of your night, great weekend. stay blessed, stay positive. And my quote that I want to leave off again, like I did last week, is it's very simple, but I feel like it's simple, but it's understated. Life is short. Love each other.
Yep. With that being said, you know, Leah King signing off episode 298, two episodes away from 300. So, you know, we've been going strong. We've definitely been very, very consistent here lately. But everybody have a great weekend. Take care of you. Take care of yourself. Take care of others. And always, signing off, we always leave you with a peace.